Well, good afternoon. Thanks for being here. So I'm about to, I think I'm the part of the human factors in this panel. And I'm going to talk about job flexibility and psychological distress among hospital nurses. And before I start, I have nothing to disclose. And really what I want to talk about today is a way of thinking job flexibility for workforces that don't have like typical arrangements, the office space where most flexibility practices are being conducted. And so I really want to make emphasis on how to think about job flexibility among nurses and the importance of multi-level specification for a lot of occupational exposures. And finally, just a couple of reflections on flexible work arrangements in the, and how important are they for occupational health and safety. So I want to start with the definition of what is flexible arrangements. It's really the set of organizational policies and practices that allow workers to modify the time and location of work. And it has, for example, whether you can work from home, whether you can change your work hours, and whether you have a predictable and stable work hours, whether you can modify your shift, things like that. And it has to do with employer and employee considerations. Employer is really what is offered at your workplace, and employee or individual consideration is what you need, what kind of time arrangements you need. And relatively, it has to do with formal, really the contractual arrangements, what is specified in your labor contract, or occupational or workplace practices, these social norms or informal arrangements. For example, among nurses, one that is very common is trading shift. So you cover me because I need that day off, but it's something that we arrange between ourselves, but without going to the formal level. And something that I want to stress for the rest of my presentation is really this distinction between policy and practice. Policy is what is available, what is possible at your workplace, and practice is whether you actually use it or how people use it. And I will go into this later. And like I was saying before, thinking about job flexibility for nurses is very different than thinking changing the location and the timing of work as compared with white-collar or office workers. First of all, in America, there is a nursing shortage, and there is the importance of a staffing ratio. So, for example, there are enough nurses, and several studies have shown that the ratio of registered nurses to nursing aides predict patient outcomes and other occupational outcomes. So when there is not enough staff, then you really have to be creative in how to organize work hours for them. Moreover, there are also regulations on time at work that nurses have to comply with specific hours, and there are several restrictions in location in changing the location of work unless nurses bring their patients home, which is very unlikely. And something that is very common and perhaps unique of this workforce is that it is people's work, so nurses tend to put their work first even before their own personal health. And I'm sure the people who are involved in ergonomics have found this issue that, for example, to use a lifting device, they rather not use it because they could save time that is valuable for patient care instead of like engaging in the dynamics of the machine. And some compositional features of this workforce are also important in thinking into all these issues. For example, it is an aging workforce. It's mostly female, and especially for nursing aides, it's a racially diverse workforce. So the core of my presentation is this, that we really need to show how a flexible arrangement is an organizational resource, something that is available and offered at your workplace, and that will have health effects if you use it and even if you don't use it. So in box A, the conceptual empirical model, I'm trying to explain that it is really important for a workplace to offer this sort of flexible arrangements that and if you use or make use of that of those arrangements, for example, changing your work hours or working from a remote location, it's going to affect your health positively or negatively. And you can only use it because it's offered at your workplace. Like, of course, occupational or organizational behavior is constrained by the by your organization. But this, what I'm trying to show here is that it's really important to make this distinction between what is offered at the workplace and what is used by specific individuals. And the reason to make that decision is the following, the other boxes. First, if you only look at those who use flexible options, you could be reaching invalid conclusions. For example, it could be a case of reverse causation, that people who are more users of flexible arrangements, for example, those who work more from home, is because they have a health issue that makes them use that. For example, if you have an injury or if you have a back problem, then you are more likely to request a working at different hours, or fewer hours, or different locations, or changing your work. And if you only focus on those people, then you can falsely conclude that there's a health damaging association. Likewise, if you don't look at both what is offered and what is practiced, and also if you don't consider like external factors, for example, work-family conflict, then it could be a case that an omitted variable, a confounding variable, could be biasing your estimations and the importance of reaching or focusing on what is available at the workplace is particularly useful when a lot of the individual usage is suspected to be influenced by other unobservable factors. So by placing your emphasis on what is offered at the workplace, then you can partially remedy all these individual level confounders, which are very hard to identify and then measure. And lastly, a case of selection bias would be an extension of the reverse causation example, whereby users, if you only focused in an organization, those who use these flexible arrangements, only those who came in or leave early, only those who work at a different location, those people might be very different than people who are exposed to these arrangements but don't use it that often. So bottom line, my presentation is about trying to make this distinction between what is offered and what is used at a workplace. So analytically, it's very hard when your data wasn't collected with that purpose, so you need to come up with ways to distinguish what is offered and what is used. So let me show you my approach with a very nice example of the Beatles. So let's suppose that the Beatles are a work team. This is a workplace that we work with the Beatles. So traditional methods include the aggregation of the four Beatles individual scores as well as the individual scores for each member. But the problem with the individual, the unit, or the team score is that they have issues. Like if you only use the individual, then you're going to miss how group dynamics affect the context of work, and therefore you need to account, you need to better explain how the work context influences that individual's health. But if you use the unit score, then you could be incurring into a phenomenon that is called cross-level confounding, that, you know, the Beatles is the let's say that we are creating a variable for the whole unit of the Beatles, then whatever individual confounder you can account for Ringo is going to affect the others. So my approach is basically a simple extension of the multi-level framework, whereby, for example, for the organizational score for Ringo would be the average of the other Beatles. This way, I can capture better how the Beatles experience, as defined by other Beatles member, is for Ringo, and then I also control for Ringo's own personal experience of being in the Beatles. So that's just an example of how to address with this cross-level confounding. And this is really important because if an organizational trait, whatever characteristic, whether it's flexible arrangements or occupational safety programs, if individual people are going to report them differently, but they're supposed to be offered for all members, available for all members, everyone is supposed to be exposed, then it's really important to come up with ways to rule out potential differential reporting by something that is supposedly to be objective and available for all. So this, I believe that this way is just an analytical manner to do so. So the rest of my presentation is just showing some empirical examples of how to apply this approach. So I wanted to test whether flexible arrangements, that is, these organizational attributes, these organizational factors that are supposed to be available and to everyone and used by some, if those arrangements are associated with mental health. And like I said before, it's very important to give room for flexibility for different, for nurses, job flexibility means something different than for office workers. So the important thing is to identify which flexible arrangements are pertinent for each industry. So for nurses, there are two arrangements that are very important. One is the ability to modify their shifts should they need to, and the other is the ability to deal with family matters during work hours, because it's a continuous and intense work, and it's also because it's a mostly female workforce where a lot of them have caregiver responsibilities. So the ability, so these policies or practices that allow them to deal with personal or family issues while at work are very important markers for a workforce that is always on the move. So basically, I just want to show if the availability and use of flexible options are uniform across the hospitals, if being exposed to flexible arrangements and moreover if using them is going to affect your health, and if this association would vary by occupational characteristic. So very shortly, this is a hospital in the Boston area. 2,000 workers were randomly selected, but we got responses from 80% of them. And more importantly, these nurses are nested by units, or a group of workers supervised by a nurse director. This is just to show very simple demographics. Most of them are female. A significant proportion is 46 or older, mostly non-Hispanic white, and half of them have childcare responsibilities. Most of the sample was working as staff nurse, registered nurse. A very small percentage was nursing aide. Most of them were really working in different shifts, 30 hours or more. So this is just the distribution of the flexible arrangements. As we can see here, like about half of the workforce did not make modifications to their shift, whereas making family-related phone calls, which is a marker of how to deal with family matters during work hours, was a rather common practice. And here is I'm showing that it really matters that this options, flexible options, were not uniformly distributed in this hospital. Like, where you are really matters. So we see a lot of variance of, and on these flexible arrangements depending on the unit that you were. And about 60% of the variance was dependent on the unit or the work team that you were part of. And here, I'm just showing whether if you individually report if those flexible arrangements were available affect your health, and what would happen if your team collectively, the aggregation of the responses affected your personal health. And whether you reported something was available didn't make a difference, but the more your colleagues and yourself agreed that a flexible option was not available, then your mental health was worse. And here is something that shows how being offered something is very different than actually using them. So for example, for individuals who made shift modifications, they reported higher psychological distress. But when you examine other team members, their modifications did not have an effect on your personal health. So it only matters if you had to change your shift. And a similar story was also found for family-related phone calls. So when you personally dealt with your family issues, your distress was higher. But when you work at a unit, when your coworkers have more flexibility to do so, to address family matters, that was better for your health. So So this is basically the same story. I think I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to go until. And those who had children at home like a proxy of caregiving responsibilities, if they were not allowed to make family-related phone calls, then it was worse for the mental health, allegedly because they had to, you know, check in with the kids. So, just to summarize, I think I'm showing an example of the importance or the difference between having an option and using them. Like, it was good for your mental health being at a workplace or a unit or a work group where you had options. But if you had, probably you need to make those options because you need to address something that is affecting also your health. So in the case of shift modifications, because the shift that you had was not working for you, then most likely you had to request it. But you could only change it because you had that option. So it would, like counterfactually speaking, it would have been worse if you needed to change your shift and you didn't have such option. And likewise, for family-related phone calls, if you have an issue at home with your spouse or your kid or your grandparent or whatever, like if you need to make or take those phone calls, it's because something's going on. And not having the ability to address these phone calls is worse for your health, but what would be irrespective of whether you use it. In conclusion, I hope that this presentation is just an example of how to address this paradox, especially in cross-sectional studies that you don't have. If we do an intervention, then no problem, but we need to be creative and think of ways to realize and to address this reality of workplaces, and especially when there is a lot of methodological issues dealing with self-reported measure, retrospective measures, and a lot of confounding. So bottom line, it's very different to have an option and to use it. Thank you so much.